Now, I want to ask you about one librarian in particular, because I was so moved by her story, and she is quite well known, and that is Annie Waters,
yeah.
who was a young protester.
Yeah, Annie Waters was the director of the Auburn, Sweet Auburn branch of the Atlanta Public Library, and she later married, and her name, she wrote her autobiography as Annie Waters McPheeters, and she in library circles is generally known as Annie McPheeters. But as Annie Waters and director of that Sweet Auburn branch, she engaged a number of civil rights leaders. For example, Julian Bond, when he was with the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee and going through the South engaging protests, would often come back to Atlanta and meet with his colleagues in the Sweet Auburn branch. Annie Waters was also the librarian when the person who became mayor, Maynard Jackson, would come in as a kid packing lunches he wasn't supposed to eat in the library, and Annie Waters specifically remembers saying, Maynard, no eating in the library, and then shortly thereafter she heard a lunch bag crinkle again and have to remind him once more. But the story that came to us most was her interaction with Martin Luther King when he was 9 and 10 years old and interested in Mahatma Gandhi's writings, which she was able to get for him. And according to her, she read every Mahatma Gandhi book that they had in a Sweet Auburn branch. She also practiced with him. He would come into the library. He'd never address her directly unless spoken to first, and she would always refer to him by his first and middle name, and she'd say, "What's on your mind, Martin Luther?" And on occasion he would say, "Oh, nothing particularly," which they had designed as a way to cue Annie Waters that Martin Luther King Jr. had learned a new big word, and he wanted to practice it. Then they would have a conversation in which he would use the word and she would correct him when he used it incorrectly. It's a really wonderful story of a black library director engaging with a young black youth that had fairly little to do with checking out books, much more with the relationship between librarian and patron.
Well, and also, she had been denied library service as a child.
Yes. Yeah,
and said, "I'll be back."
Her library, and the white librarian said, "Sorry, little girl, you're not welcome here." And then she had to walk back down the stairs.
Right. Now, Wayne, you think this is an especially important conversation to have at the ALA convention, because as an institution, the Library Association doesn't seem to have done all it could have done institutionally at the time.
Right. The American Library Association passed what was called a Library Bill of Rights in 1939, and in principle, it said it would support all efforts to make information accessible to all people. Then 2 months thereafter, there was a library protest at the Alexandria Public Library where five black youth walked in and sat down and began reading, and they were kicked out and arrested, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And the American Library Association said absolutely nothing about that. It was relatively silent about segregated libraries even after the protests began to emerge in the early 1960s. So it was silent at the time, and then after the protests were over and desegregation had occurred, library historians did not look very much at it, and it kind of got lost in the history of the American Library Association. Our history of the desegregation of public libraries made it pretty obvious that a new generation of librarians had little idea there were initially segregated libraries, and secondly, had no idea that the American Library Association overlooked, despite its Library Bill of Rights, which went through several revisions in the 1950s and 1960s, overlooked the fact that they had not participated very much in defending the rights of young black people to have access to Southern public libraries. So we bring this back to the attention of the American Library Association with this book, and I'm very happy to report that the American Library Association is now considering what I call an apology resolution. It's kind of modeled on the apology resolutions that the House of Representatives and the Senate crafted in 2008, shortly after Barack Obama was elected president, apologizing not only for slavery but also for Jim Crow. So it's crafted kind of on that model, and the American Library Association is now considering it. It is my hope that the ALA will pass this resolution, which is, by the way, is being endorsed by a lot of ALA organizations, internal organizations, and state library associations. It's my hope that they will pass this resolution before our program on June 24th so that it's possible we can present the resolution to who were kids then who are participating with us on the program.